From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 24th day of October, 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Todd Hubbs will be here, commodity market specialist, agricultural economist on the campus of the U of I, to talk about next year's soybean acreage as it's related to consumption, not quite as it's related to price. An interesting look at how the marketplace works. You'll hear from him as we make our way through this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Oh, and don't forget to visit our website at willag.org. There you can pick up your tickets right now today, $35 for the Farm Assets Conference. That's the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving in Normal, Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. Pick up your tickets to the Farm Assets Conference online right now at willag.org, farmassetsconference.com. The cost is just $35 for the day-long event in Normal, Illinois. That's the 21st day of November. Check it out and buy your tickets today. We're now joined by Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. Wayne in Chicago today. Soybeans, well, they slumped a bit.
While we did see a couple of the advisory firms advising selling 10% more beans today, taking them to 30% sold. But basically, it was the weather improved in South America in the 6 to 10 day period here. Looks like they're going to get some rain in some of the dry areas. That, along with the bean oil, it had rallied hard on the news of the the tariffs were labeled to put on Argentina that way for their the biodiesel coming in, and so the meaning that we'd use our bean oil, and that helped yesterday quite a bit, and today that's was sort of taken back out of the market. But it was nice to see corn after holding slows yesterday bounce back up and close higher again today.
Yeah, so that wasn't such a bad deal, held it slow, although it is a bit surprising that soybeans haven't been able to hold on or at least move along with the corn a bit higher, given the strength that they showed earlier in the harvest season.
Yeah, we're a lot closer to $9 or to $10 with the beans than we are to $4 with the corn, and those are sort of the magic numbers that way. So they've got a little room to back up that way, and we are seeing basis levels appreciate in some areas now as we wind down this last 30% of the harvest in a lot of the areas. A lot of the processors are upping their bids by 5 or 10 cents to what they were just a week ago, wanting to try to get the last few bushels in the area around here. And also talk about maybe there might be some quality problems out west with some of the later planted corn, and if they do get an early frost, that's not drying down quite right. There's a little bit of concern that way, but we've got an awful lot of corn in the country.
Since we don't have much in the way of soybeans yet to harvest, have we got any inkling of whether USDA's numbers, when they update them in November, should go up and down as it relates to yield?
I think as far as the beans go, from what I've seen so far and not going along with it, they're probably going to be pretty much on the money. I think that our bean harvest here was better than we expected because we thought the government was a little too strong early, and they were right. Fortunately for all of our farmers that the government was right instead of me this time. So, we're glad to see that for them. But the bean harvest has been better than expected with the weather we had.
And speaking of farmers, when do they expect they'll be able to get back into the field?
Well, I think, we're still probably, there's water still standing over in our area, so I'm going to say, today's Tuesday, Thursday probably, if we get some wind and the weather comes back the way it is. But it's going to be cooler, and we don't dry out fields out quite as much when the temperature is 20 degrees cooler than the sun isn't shining bright.
You know, I don't know whether my home place there in Mahama was an oddity or not. I picked up 3 inches over that weekend rainfall. That surprised me. I didn't realize it had dropped that much. How about you?
We had it varied in here. I think we were from a half to an inch and a half over here. So not near as much as you got, but and we didn't need it, but it was very nice. We're seeing a lot of the wheat pop up and look really good, and that nice little rain shower sure helped that.
Anything else that we ought to talk about before I let you go for the day?
Well, a surprise sort of in the cattle market today. After the very bearish cattle on feed report at the end of the week last week, we turned back positive today and saw a nice close there.
Fantastic. Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us here on a Tuesday afternoon. Don't forget to buy your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving. The cost is just $35 at 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. WillAg.org or FarmAssetsConference.com. In today's agricultural news, let's take a look at rural America and the digital divide. The FCC faces a showdown sometime today between wireless giants like AT&T and Verizon and smaller rural broadband providers who have partnered with Google on regulating airwaves that could be used for fixed wireless service in rural areas. The FCC is voting on a proposal for the 3.5 gigahertz spectrum band that is supported by the trade group representing AT&T and Verizon. The nation's top wireless carriers are making huge investments in the next generation service, and this spectrum lets them add capacity and carry signals farther than other high-frequency airwaves being eyed for 5G. The FCC's original plan involved auctioning off licenses the size of census tracts for three-year terms. Now the FCC is considering increasing the size of the licenses from a census tract to a much bigger geographic area, which could include multiple counties. It also is seeking comment about extending the license terms to 10 years. Smaller rural internet service providers are siding with Google because a larger license does not make sense for them, size-wise or cost-wise. Their fixed wireless networks typically cover a smaller area of homes or businesses serving an average of 1,200 customers. They're calling on the FCC to follow through with its priority of expanding broadband to rural America and to stick with its original plan for the spectrum. And one other story today, this one on baseball. What will the weather be like for the opening game of the World Series? Three words: hot, hot, and hot. Stephanie Ho and USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey have more.
Are baseball fans ready for what is set to be the hottest World Series opening day ever?
In downtown Los Angeles, we are seeing temperatures above 100 degrees, 102 in downtown, 101 at LAX Airport.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says it won't be quite that hot by the time the first pitch is thrown between the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Houston Astros. But he says the temperatures by game time in Los Angeles are still expected to be in the upper 90s.
It's downright amazing what we're seeing for late October.
He says this year is on track to break the old record of 94 degrees, which was set at the first game of the 2001 World Series in Phoenix, Arizona.
The extreme heat will last on through the 24th, and then temperatures will back off a few degrees, but it is going to stay on the hot side.
So fans who are viewing the game in person can be forgiven if they feel like it's still summer. This is Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
And that's a look at today's agricultural news. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, now joined by Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist, commodity market specialist here on campus, to talk about soybean acreage and not really acreage exactly for the 2018 growing season, but what demand would require of acreage for soybeans in the 2018 growing season. What's the difference?
You know, we're in that time of year as we're harvesting that a lot of academics and industry analysts are talking about how many acres for 2018, right? And it's an important question, you know, as we look for how much supply we'll have next year. And it's really hard at this point to think about the planting decision and how many acres we're going to see in corn and soybeans and wheat moving into 2018. So I sort of wanted to think about, well, what would we require, right, based on our current stocks to use and what kind of cost of production? Like, if we think 2018, the cost of production for soybeans is $9.50, and in 2016-17, we had a 7.1% stocks to use ratio, and we had a, you know, an average soybean price of $9.47 for the marketing year. So if we think, and these are pretty strong assumptions, but I just, instead of saying this is how many acres are going to be, you know, how many do we need? If we assume 7% stocks to use in 18-19 would give us $9.50, which would cover our cost of production here in Illinois based on current projections. You know, how many acres of soybeans nationally? under those strong assumptions would we need given a trend yield? You know, based on a trend yield of about 46.8, which, you know, the last few years of soybean yields, it's probably going to be higher than that in 2018. But we would need about, you know, 88.4 million harvested acres to give us 950 based on a 7% stocks to use, if that makes any sense to everybody out there. They're pretty strong assumptions, but for me, I like to think in this way, sort of like, if we see more acres based on a certain kind of yield, is this going to put price pressure on us based on what our stocks to use should be in 2018-19? Using the USDA's long-term projection for yield, which was 48.4 bushels, which I don't think's too terribly unreasonable for 2018, you know, to get that 950 price based on a 7% ending stocks to use would be about 86.2 million acres.
Harvested.
Oh, no, that would be planted. So harvested would be about 85.3 to 4, right? So, you know, right now with where soybean prices are relative to corn and wheat, the market's sort of, in my opinion, saying, you know, those record number of acres you planted in 2017, do it again, you know. But those conditions can change pretty quickly. And if we think this kind of price level around 950s break even for us in soybeans, if we come back again with another 90 million acres of soybeans and we carry out 400 million bushels next year out of the 17-18 crop, you know, and we get the kind of yields we've been seeing in soybeans over the last few years, it could be some severe price pressure in 18-19. But right now, it looks like we could see a repeat of 2017's acreage in soybean based on the prices the market sent, the signals we're seeing sent from the market. But I just want to do a, you know, like a what-if analysis on, you know, not necessarily what is it going to be in 2018, but maybe some sensitivity around what is required to break even.
Yeah, and your numbers show, for instance, we're at 430 million bushels,
right,
on carryout for 17-18, but 400. When you get to the 18-19 end, you're down at 300 million? How do you calculate that?
Well, what I did was I said, let's assume consumption in 18-19 is similar to what 17-18's projections are. You with me? And if a 7% stocks to use would give us 950, 7% of that amount of consumption is about 300 million bushels of carryout. So at that, you know, just those are really strong assumptions. I'm not denying that. Things change all the time, but you know, if we were down to 300 million out of after 18-19, right, we could see that kind of price level based on the current supply and demand scenarios we've seen over the last couple of years. So that's how I calculated it. I sort of backed it out.
Yeah, you know, let me think about that just a little bit as it relates to the 300 million and the 950. Those two pair together, but we're already there. You're talking about a steady price, but a much lower ending stocks number?
Yep. Now, this is a seasonal average farm price.
Right.
Right, so we're talking over the whole marketing year, right, market-weighted. Right now, we're there, right, about 950, but we're in October of 2017. If we think, you know, the current USDA price projections for the 2017-18 marketing year, the median, the middle of it's about 920, right? I've been projecting out my prices for 2017 marketing year average price, and I have it about that. It could be a little bit higher. It really does depend on what 2017-18 consumption numbers are. We're starting, you know, there's this idea that maybe yield will come down a little bit in the November report for soybeans. I'm not sure it will, but it sort of feels that way based on a lot of the yield numbers I've heard come out of the Corn Belt. We might see it weaken just a little bit more. I don't think you're going to see a dramatic drop in yields for soybeans. It may not change. Who knows? It may even go up. But I don't think you're going to see a huge change in the yield number in November. So we're basically going to be right around this kind of supply number barring some kind of change in harvested acres, which I don't see occurring at this point in time. So, you know, we're gonna have a record production in soybeans in all probability. We carried out 301 million into the 17-18 year. We've got what looks like the potential for a record Brazilian soybean crop being planted in hectares, whatever you want to, however you want to think about it, because of their corn price being so poor. They've had some moisture. We're starting to see that look a little bit rosier than we were seeing a couple weeks ago. You know, can we export 2.25 billion bushels of soybeans in the 17-18 marketing year? Yeah, we can do it. But will we is the question, with Brazil being there as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on right now, and the dynamics as we look forward to 2018 are pretty risky. There's an upside potential there, but I think there's a lot of downside risk in soybeans right now. I've been pleased with the price recently, but we'll see. This next WASDE report, production report, is going to be interesting reading. And, you know, the final numbers in January are going to be interesting. We've seen soybean exports, you know, through export inspections, off to a strong start. If we can maintain that and we get the crush numbers that we expect to see in 17-18, we're still looking at, what, 400 million bushels of carryout. That's sort of what I thought if we reduced yield in 17. If we don't reduce yield, we're still staring at 430 million bushels of carryout into 18-19. And if we don't reduce soybean acreage at all based on the yield trends we've been seeing in soybeans, we really need the consumption to be there. The world's not hurting for soybeans right now.
Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
That, of course, is Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist from right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. He will join us for the Farm Assets Conference, by the way, the 21st day of November, the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving in Normal, Illinois. I hope you will, too. You need to buy your tickets right now, just $35 online at farmassetsconference.com or willag.org or by dialing 800-898-1065. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this 24th day of October. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day is here. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Rainy and wet and cold here today. How about where you are, Don?
Well, the Rockies and the Western High Plains has been a little bit of a roller coaster. Right now, the roller coaster is going up with sunny skies and dry conditions in the western states and the western plains. But that's going to change, and what that means is some of this warmer, drier air that's out west will come in, bring a little bit of relief to your cold and wet right now, but it will be fleeting because up in the northern reaches of Alberta and British Columbia, a cold front is forming, and that's going to dive south right into the northern Rockies and the northern plains here at the end of the week, and this is going to bring another swath of colder, wet weather into the Midwest and Corn Belt again by the weekend.
Tell me about that and what conditions will be like.
Well, we're probably not looking at as much rain with this next system as the last one, but areas of showers, thunderstorms, and some pretty chilly air is going to come in by the weekend. We're going to see temperatures get downright cold. We're going to probably have areas in Minnesota, portions of Wisconsin, certainly the eastern Dakotas, Nebraska, and even Iowa that could be flirting with temperatures that will be in the lower 30s near freezing in some areas.
Indeed. What do we see next week?
Well, we see next week is a reloading. High pressure is going to build right along the west coast up into the Gulf of Alaska. And when you get a high pressure ridge there, the door to Canada is open. And we're likely going to see more systems move in the first week of November. The first week to 10 days of November from the Rockies east is looking cold and unsettled, as we're going to get some shots of some pretty cold air and some winter-like conditions here in the next couple of weeks.
No, but I thought that Noah said we were going to have a moderate winter. maybe not to start with, I guess.
What's always tricky about long-range winter forecasts is it's the whole period of winter. Certainly, there's going to be episodes in the winter where it's not going to be moderate.
Okay. Let's go back through just so we can clarify for the rest of this week and next week, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana. What do harvest conditions really look like?
Well, we are certainly going to have some wet conditions early on from this past system coming on through. We do have a few days here, middle to the end of the week, where it will be warmer and drier. Before this next system comes in, as we get on into Friday and Saturday, that will bring back the chances of showers and colder weather again. I don't expect this next system to be nearly as wet, but certainly it's going to be a lot colder here by the end of the week and the weekend in those areas.
And finally, a quick word on South American weather, Brazil in particular, please.
Brazil, central and southern areas, as well as down south into Argentina, going to have a fairly active pattern of shower activity. So some of the areas that in Brazil that have been dry here for the past week or two are looking more wet.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And that's Don Day. He's with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon. Do visit our website, willag.org. Don't forget to get your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference. It's coming up the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving. All the details are there at willag.org or on the conference website at farmassetsconference.com. You can call, too, at 800-898-1065. Tickets are just $35. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.